launch service here at Asbury. We have the launch band here, which includes our senior pastor, a man of many talents. Please stand with us and let's worship together today. Have a seat, have a seat.
It's a little more complicated with Nick not here, amen? But Nick is away today, by the way. A lot of y'all probably know this, but he's with our youth on their fall retreat. And so we want to be in prayer for them. But welcome to Asbury. We're so glad you're here, glad to see you today. And we're so thankful that you are with us. This morning we had several babies in the earlier service, and so we're kind of down in numbers, but which is a good thing. But we're celebrating the births of 13 babies to the Asbury Church family since March of 2020. Amen? And we are playing catch-up today having a rose for each one on the altar. And then we baptized Grace Hall at the 9 o'clock service as well, and so we're so thankful for that. That was the first time I'd done a baptism in about 3 years. So anyway, it was really nice. But welcome to Asbury. I do want to encourage you to sign in. There are a couple of ways that you can do that. One is there's a scan to sign in right there on the screen. You can hold the camera on your phone up to that, and I think it will take you to a little website where you can register your attendance for it with us today. And if you're joining us online, we want to welcome you as well. And the QR code, I think, is right about here or maybe right over here somewhere. So anyway, just you can scan that to sign in. If you're watching online, you can also just comment or like the video, and we'll see that you joined us as well. I want everybody to know that our family-to-family boxes are here now, and they are available today. Can they pick them up in the church office, Carol? Okay, Carol, wave at everybody. Everybody knows Carol anyway. But Carol will be glad to take you and give you a family to family box after this. They are available. Yes, sir. Oh, there's some right back there in the back, so you don't have to go very far. Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. Those are due back by December 5th, and you'll find a list in there that has everything that you need to put in the box before you bring it back. We are so thrilled. Advent is just 2 weeks away. It's on November the 28th, and first Sunday of Advent, we're having our Advent kickoff. One of the things that your vision team has been talking about is we want to bring back some of those classic things that Asbury loved to do. And the first one of these is the Advent dinner, which is going to be at 4 p.m. out on the South Lawn. And the first thing we do before we eat is we're going to burn the mortgage. Amen and hallelujah. Yeah. So Brother Tom is going to be with us. Our district superintendent, Ulysses Washington, is going to be with us as well. There may be other guests. And then as soon as that's over, I know that the screen says 6 p.m., but it's all relative. As soon as we get done eating, we're going to go into the sanctuary and have our hanging of the greens, and that's another event we're trying to bring back. And you want to go ahead and put that on your calendar and be ready for that. We are also doing an Advent series as a church family, and we have these little devotional books. The series is called God with Us, and we have enough devotional books for one per family. And we want to encourage all of our church members and families to do that. During the season of Advent, we'll do that together. Of course, today we're celebrating our veterans, and if you served in our armed forces, would you please stand where you are and let us recognize you? Thank you so much, and let us pray. God, we do thank you for our veterans and for all of those who serve in the military. We pray, giving you thanks for the ways that they shared of themselves to show the values and that we have as a nation. And Lord, we also lift up today our youth as they are away on their retreat. Give them safe travels, and we pray that we know that you have given them your Holy Spirit, and in a way that they have felt connected with you and have deepened their relationship with you, and we give you thanks for that. Lord, we also thank you for all of the babies that have been born to our church family over the last 18 months or so. Thank you for each one of those families and for each one of those children, and we pray that you'll help us to be the church you need us to be, so that they can come to know your love and your grace through us and through the way that we live and from the community that we provide. And Lord, we also thank you, pray for those members of our church family who are ill or in special need. We pray for Clifford Smith, June Glazier, Betty Hill, Fred Williams, Barbara Clark, Eddie Thorne, Patty Shoemaker, Lanny Langley, our neighbor Mrs. Franklin, for Roger Dinker, Noah Logan, and for Megan Arnold. We pray that you will give them your grace, give them the courage, give them the strength that they need to face what lies ahead. And Lord, finally, we pray for ourselves. As we consider how we might use our time, our talents, and our treasure in the coming year to help grow your kingdom, remind us that as we put you first, as we seek your kingdom first, that all of the things that we worry about, all the things that we are anxious about, will be given to us as well. And so, Lord, we pray, giving you thanks with grateful hearts for all of the ways that you have blessed us as individuals, as families, and as a church family. And we pray that you will continue to bless us so that we might be a blessing to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. And now we pray as he taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are so grateful, and we know that we are blessed, and we always remember that everything that we are and everything that we have is a gift of God's love for us. And in that spirit, we give to the support the ministries of the Asbury Church family. There are several ways you can do that. You can text Asbury UMC to 73256. You can give online at the church website, or you can mail a check to our address at 1700 Napa Valley Drive in Little Rock. You may also, once again, hold your camera up in front of the QR code, and it will take you to our website and tell you more about each of those options. And those who are joining us online can do that as well. This is the stewardship season, and I'm excited to invite our lay leader, Clark Cogbill. I thought about you last night. Clark, Christmas Vacation was on. And I was, anyway. But anyway, he's here to share with us a stewardship moment.
That's Cogbill, not Griswold. Good morning. As Hammett said, this is the time of year when we talk about stewardship. That was weird. As I was saying, this is the time of year at Asbury when we talk about stewardship.
And what is it that you would like to discuss about me, hum?
Hey, it's our old friend Stuart Shipp. Stuart, how are you doing?
Hi, Clark. Hi, everyone. I'm doing great.
Hey, Stuart, you know, I gotta tell you, you look fantastic. You haven't aged at all.
Oh, thanks, Clark. And may I just say, you have quite a bit more gray hair.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Like a lot more.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on. Stuart, do you remember those conversations you and I used to have about stewardship?
Oh, sure, Clark. We had some great talks back when your hair was darker.
All right. Okay. Moving on. Do you remember some of the things that we talked about stewardship?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like money.
Yes, money is a part of stewardship, and it's important this time of year. We do talk about our annual giving, and it's important to think about what that giving does. It helps ministries here at Asbury, our youth ministry programs, our children's programs, staff salaries, keeping the heat and air and electricity on, so many things. But some of that money travels outside the walls of Asbury and does some pretty incredible thing, Stuart. Do you remember what we call that? Okay, I'll give you a hint. It's two words, And the first word is shared.
Oh, shared pizza.
No, it's not shared pizza.
Shared donuts?
It's not a food.
I remember now, Clark. Shared giving.
That's right, Stuart. Shared giving. Shared giving means that some of the money, like I said, goes out into the world, and it really does some incredible things, like funds pastor education, missionaries, the World Service Fund.
That is so cool. I love shared giving. I also love shared pizza.
Both are pretty neat. Both are pretty neat. Another important part of stewardship, Stuart, is how we decide to give of our time and talents. There are many ways to serve and worship God at Asbury. Maybe you want to try handbells or sing in the praise band, or you want to bring canned food for our food pantry or teach a Sunday school class or be a part of the care team. There's a lot of ways to serve.
You know, Clark, there's something I've been thinking about trying.
Oh, really, Stuart? What is that?
I don't know. It's a crazy idea. I don't know if I would be any good at it.
Well, I think you should think about it, Stuart, because, you know, when we give of our time and talents, it doesn't mean we need to be an expert at something. We can just try something new and serve the church. So tell us, how have you been thinking about serving God through Asbury?
Well, I've been kind of thinking about, I don't know, Clark.
Oh, come on, Stuart, tell us, what have you been thinking about doing with time and talents?
Okay. I've been thinking I could try the puppet ministry.
Hey, I think that's a great idea. Don't y'all think Stuart would do a great job with the puppet ministry? I do too. That's great, Stuart, so give it a try. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, during this time of stewardship, we pray that you will guide us as we make decisions about not only our annual giving, but in the ways that we can serve you. And maybe that's some new way that we haven't thought about before. Help us to serve your purposes, Lord, in your holy name. Amen.
I won't ask you to stand, but the lyrics are on the screen if you'd like to sing along.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You
Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, and verses 25 through 33. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you can, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his splendor, wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, 'What are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear?' Gentiles long for all those things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we do thank you for all of your blessings, and we pray now that you'll bless us with the gift of your Spirit, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. I'd like to begin today with a poem by a pastor named Bob Joyce. And so listen to what he said. "Brace yourself. Somewhere they're plotting the scare of the week. Air is polluted, water is too, fish that swim in it are not good for you. Fresh fruits and vegetables, delicious, you say? Don't eat them, they're loaded with pesticide spray. Avoid dairy products, say no to red meat. Cholesterol levels must go in retreat. The rays of the sun will most certainly fret you. Stay in the house and radon will get you. If you walk in the woods, you can really get sick. Lyme disease is spread by a pinhead-sized tick. If one thing won't get you, another one will. But don't worry, be happy, because worry can kill." So, kidding aside, worry really is a serious issue in our nation. Several years ago, the Journal of the American Medical Association did a study on mental illness, and they looked at 14 different nations, and many of these countries were under a lot of stress. We're talking about places like Lebanon, the Ukraine, and Nigeria. But guess which nation had the highest rate of mental illness of all of them? We did. It was the United States. And at over 26%, we led the pack in anxiety, in mood disorders, impulse control, substance abuse, and dependency. The most prevalent mental illnesses in our country fall under the broad category of anxiety disorders. And that was before COVID. So you see, in the wealthiest, most prosperous nation on the planet, anxiety disorders are running rampant. It seems like the more that we have, the more afraid we are that we'll lose what we have. Jesus was right. The richer we get, the more enslaved we become to our money and our possessions. It's a story as old as King Solomon. Now, King Solomon was rich beyond belief. The Bible says that one year Solomon received 666 talents of gold. That is 25 tons of gold. Today, that would be worth a little over $700 million, so almost $1 billion in gold. So what did Solomon do with all that gold? He did a lot of good stuff for God, right? Wrong. He built himself a magnificent golden throne, and he refused to drink from silver cups because silver wasn't good enough for him. He would only drink out of gold cups. The Bible says that during Solomon's reign, silver was as common as stones. Apparently, the women were too. The Bible doesn't even tell us how many women Solomon had between his wives and concubines. It just says that they included 700 princesses and 300 concubines. All of that was not enough for King Solomon. All the wisdom wasn't enough. All the riches weren't enough. All of the women weren't enough. And one God wasn't enough either. It wasn't very long before Solomon started worshiping other gods, and he lost sight of the one God who gave it all to him. So that's why Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or hold on to the one and look down on the other. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Today we would say, you cannot serve God and the almighty dollar. On this account, I tell you, don't be anxious in your soul what you eat, or in your body what you wear. Isn't a soul more than food, and the body more than clothes? See, Jesus is saying that life is more than our stuff. Life is more than our stuff. I remember I was in about fifth or sixth grade, and you weren't anybody at school if you didn't have a little alligator on your shirt. Y'all remember that? Or if you had sneakers, you could have three stripes on your sneakers, but you did not want to be caught dead in sneakers with four stripes on them. We called those Larrys. I don't know why. Did y'all, I don't know if y'all called them Larrys up here. I don't know. This was in Pine Bluff. We called them Larrys, and they were, nobody cool wore Larrys. So, but isn't that dumb? Isn't that super dumb? Like, 2 million children die every year because they don't have clean drinking water. And I was worried because my sneakers had four stripes on them instead of three. Now, we like to think that it's kid stuff. But the truth is that our Larrys just grow up with us. We keep on keeping up with our peers. We get bigger screens and bigger vehicles. We buy I don't know about y'all. I keep buying the same stuff over and over and over again. I bought it on vinyl. Then I bought it on cassette. And then I bought it on CD. And then I downloaded it on iTunes. And now it streams through Spotify or whatever. And I bought stuff on VHS. And then I had a bunch of DVDs. And then a bunch of Blu-rays. And now I just, you know, subscribe to all these different things online so that I can watch whatever I want, whenever I want it, in whatever format I want it. Same format. Same stuff. Just different content. And if we can't afford it, we just borrow the money. And you don't have to know me long. I mean, if Michelle were here, she would say, you know, I enjoy my gadgets. I mean, I'm in the pulpit, and I got my phone here with YouTube on it, and here's my iPad with my notes on it, and you know, my laptop is at home, and I don't know where I am supposed to be or what I am supposed to do if I don't have my phone. And sometimes even then, I forget. So, and I really enjoy my guitars. I really do. So Jesus comes to me, and he says, Hammett, isn't life more than gadgets and music gear? What does Jesus say to you? Life is more than cars and clothes. Life is worth more than busyness and work. Life is more than status and image. Life is more than shopping and shoes. Then Jesus says, look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or put stuff in barns, but God feeds them. I just think that's hilarious. I mean, you ever seen a bird build a barn? You ever seen a bird carry a briefcase to work? They don't do that. The other day, I was looking in our backyard, and actually, I took that picture. That's back in the spring, but all these birds were out there, and they were just chowing down, I didn't put those worms there. God put them there. Jesus says to us, aren't you worth more than those birds? And then he says, stop being anxious. Don't say, what are we going to eat or what are we going to wear? The Gentiles wish for those things. Now, as we say in the South, them's fighting words, amen? I mean, the last thing anybody in that crowd listening to the Sermon on the Mount wanted to be called was a Gentile. They hated those people. And so Jesus is saying to them, why do you want to be like the people you hate? Why do you want to be like them? And don't we do the same thing? I mean, we make fun of shallow-minded celebrities, and we loathe greedy corporate executives and politicians. So what would Jesus say to us? Why do you want to be like the people that you hate? God knows you need food, clothing, shelter. Let God worry about that. And then Jesus says it's a matter of priority. He says, long for God's kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Jesus says we should seek God's kingdom first, and all of the things that we worry about will fall into place. It'll all take care of itself. He says, stop focusing on yourself and your needs, your wants, your desires, your wishes, even your Santa Claus wish list, and focus instead on building God's kingdom. And when you think about it, that's the only thing that's guaranteed to last, God's kingdom. Nations rise and fall, economies boom and crash, houses, cars, gadgets, and gear all break down and have to be replaced. The only thing that you and I can really trust is that God's kingdom will come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Christ invites us to stake our lives on that. We have an opportunity to do that in just a couple of weeks. We have the opportunity to become good stewards. That's what the Bible calls people who stake their lives on God's kingdom. Clark and Stewart did such a great job of talking about this earlier. Good stewards recognize that everything we have and everything we are is God's gift to us and is to be used for God's glory. Good stewards seek God's kingdom first and foremost. They show that by joyfully giving of their time, talents, and treasure. They make God their number one priority by the way that they live. And as I said, each one of us has an opportunity to do that in just 2 weeks from today. You should have received a covenant for ministry form in the mail. And if you didn't, contact the church office and we'd be glad to get you one. If you're joining us online and you'd like to get one, we will have an online option available. It's just not quite ready yet. But I invite you to take some time to pray about how you will serve in the coming year. As I said last week, it's not a checkoff list. It's a pray and discern where God is calling you to serve next year. How will you use your time and talents to grow God's kingdom through Asbury United Methodist Church? Where is God calling you to go? What is God calling you to do? Now, prior to the pandemic, we had 2 full-time staff devoted to children's ministry and youth ministry, respectively. And then at one time, and for many years, one of our pastors on staff was completely devoted to providing congregational care for the whole church family. And now we have 2 excellent staff working hard to rebuild those ministries. They're doing that work part-time or in addition to a whole bunch of other responsibilities. All of that is to say they can't do it alone. Each one of us has to do our part so that Asbury can be the church that God wants us to be. Earlier, today, we are celebrating the children who've been born since March of 2020 in worship with a rose on the altar. There are 13 total, and they're not the only reason that we do stuff around here, but those babies are one of the big reasons that we do what we do here at Asbury. God has made such a difference in our lives through this church family that we want to do our part so that Asbury can make a difference in the lives of those babies. So how will you do your part? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, amen. At in the sanctuary service today, we celebrated the sacrament of Christian baptism for Grace Marie Hall. There she is. Oh, my goodness. She was one of the first babies born early. I think she was born in March of 2020. Anyway, when we baptize anyone in the church, it gives the whole congregation an opportunity to renew their vows to support the church family through the prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. And also, in that service, we promise to provide a community of love so that that child will grow up and can make those vows on their own. And so I want to invite you to do that. You're Grace's church, amen? And so today in this service, even though she was baptized earlier, we're going to go ahead and make these vows that we did earlier in the earlier service. So I ask you, and your responses will be on the screen, do you as Christ's body, the church, reject sin and reaffirm your commitment to Christ? If you do, say we do. We do. Will you care for one another in the Christian faith and life and include Grace now in your care? Let's join together and say, with God's help, we will share the good news and live by Christ's example. We will surround Grace with a community of love and forgiveness so she may grow in her trust of God and become faithful in her service to others. We will pray for her so she may become a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to true life. As members in the body of Christ and this church family, we renew our vows to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, so that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now I'm going to turn everything back over to Caleb.
Please stand and sing this last song.
be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Amen.
Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ. Oh, don't forget about the boxes, and be sure and get the first Sunday in Advent on the 28th on your calendar at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And I want to encourage you to come back next week. We're going to talk about generosity and that great story about the widow who put the only two coins she had in her pocket in the treasury. So I encourage you to come back for that as well. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.